Anyone glad to be alive? Amen. Anyone enjoying the weather? Ryden's enjoying the weather. Come on now. It's cold. It's cold. Amen to that. I agree. Amen. Amen. We want to welcome everyone to Calvary Gospel. So excited that you chose to worship with us. Thank you for those worshiping online. Amen. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we want to connect with you. You can head out to our Welcome Center. Just gather a couple points of information. If you're here in person, we've got a small gift for you. If you worship online, we'd love to connect with you as well. You can follow that bit.ly link that you see on your screen right now. Amen. We're just thankful that you are here with us, and we want to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Amen. This season, we are in a season of promoting Save Our Children. If you put that slide up there, this is a national fundraiser for our children's ministry. Unfortunately, we had a little technical difficulty, couldn't get the promotion video to go. But no worries, we'll get that and we'll promote it. But this is a national fundraiser. Portion of the funds that are raised stay in the state of Wisconsin, help our kids' camps in the summer months. And helps children's ministry, and the rest of the funds go to national efforts. And so we're just like, anybody love their kids? I love my kids. Amen. Anyone love their adult kids? Amen. 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 And adult kids, they were once impacted by children's ministry. Amen. I'm thankful for our teachers here at Calvary Gospel. My kids learn and love the Word of God, and you are a part of that. And we want to invest in our children. We're going to be taking efforts for Save Our Children the next couple weeks, April 6th. We're going to wrap this up. So you can indicate in your giving that there is a Save Our Children line on the giving envelopes. If you go online to the website, or through the church app, our many ways of giving, you can indicate Save Our Children when you give, and we want to invest in our children. Amen. Tonight, a couple announcements tonight. There is ladies' discipleship from 6 to 8 p.m. Amen. And that is in the fellowship hall. Here they're heading to Culver's. You guys are heading to Culver's afterward. So come out, bring a friend, 6 to 8 p.m. For ladies' discipleship. And then this next week, starting on Tuesday, is our Wisconsin District Conference. And that is a conference for all the licensed ministers with the United Pentecostal Church. And there's go to a resort. It's kind of nice, but there's also business. That's kind of the important part. There's elections for our district officials, and we talk about things and discuss things and have fun, and we're challenged by the Word of God. And so because of that, our pastoral team is going to be up there, and the church office is closed this next week. I say all that to say the church office is closed. So leave a message. I'll check it, and we'll get back to you when we get back. But please be advised of that. We're still having Church Wednesday, though. Amen. Anyone excited for Church Wednesday? Amen. Come here. You're going to be ministered to. We're excited for that. Amen. Next to Saturday, any parents just need a date night every once in a while? Yeah. I know we do. No kids. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, talk sweet nothings to your wife when, you know, your four-year-old's hanging on you and you're at a restaurant. And so Pastor Peter and the family ministry is doing a family date night. This is next Saturday, anytime 4 to 8 p.m., not right at 7:55. Don't come then. That's when you should pick up. But you can bring your children over to the fellowship hall. They're going to have some other volunteers there and play games and take care of the kids so you can drop and run. This is the time to leave. Unlike Sunday mornings when we have to go pick up our children, this is the time you can just drop and like, see ya. Let's go to Culver's. Oh, wait. Yeah. Or probably hopefully something fancier, gentlemen. Pick something, you know, like, you know, what's a step up from Culver's? You know, Five Guys. There we go. No. All the wives are like, seriously, Phil? Like, if we go to Five Guys, I'm going to kill you. Mooya. Mooya is actually really good, too, burgers. Anyways, I digress. I'm getting hungry. But that is next Saturday. If you want to be a part of that, there is actually a family sharing group. It's called On the Church Center app. Just go to that. It's under the connection groups. Join that. You can go to the slat wall over there, our connect wall, and there's a handout if you want to scan a QR code to make it simple for yourselves to find that group. RSVP there, join that. They'll be communicating things throughout the year. But that's this next Saturday, family date night. Amen. Then we're looking forward. Can you believe Easter is in March this year? Super early, super weird, but we're excited about Easter weekend. First, we got our Good Friday communion service. That is Friday, March 29th, 7 p.m. And then part of that weekend on Saturday is March 30th. That's my birthday, so you can leave all your Lego at the church for me and any adults who have adult children. And you want to clear out your attics of all the Lego, I will gladly come to your house and grab those Lego and take them off your hands, because I know they just, you know, anyways. Don't wait for the grandkids. You've got a big kid right here you can bless. God, thank you. Thank you. Oh, my. I need some help telling me to quit. Where's my wife? Thank you, dear. Thank you. And then on Sunday, March 31st, the important thing. Thank you for keeping that slide up. Like, come on, Phil. This is the important part. We're excited for Easter Sunday. Amen. Our theme is restoration. Anyone thankful for the restorative power of the Holy Ghost of Jesus? Amen. We want to invite someone. We'll have our normal classes 10 a.m., but an 11 o'clock service, having a special service right here, focus on restoration. With that, stand with me. We want to go before the Lord in prayer. You might be here with a need. If you've got a situation, a circumstance, you want to indicate by a lifted hand, go ahead and slip your hand up right now. Look around, folks. Call out someone's name. Join with them in prayer. If you're online, please join with worship or with prayer right now. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness, Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your many blessings, for your touch in our lives, for the presence that we feel in this place, Lord Jesus, God. We thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, you would anoint this service right now, anoint our worship as we draw close to you, Lord God, draw close to us. You saw all the needs indicated by lifted hand. You know what they are, whether family needs or relational needs or financial needs, God, or sickness and bodies, Lord. You know the needs of those worshiping online right now, God. Lord God, I pray you minister, God, in a mighty way, Lord. Speak to us this morning, Lord Jesus. Challenge us, stir us. Meet our needs, Lord Jesus. Do what you're famous for, God. You're famous for healing, God. Famous for, Lord, delivering, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, let us see that today, Lord God, in our lives, in every situation and circumstance. Let's give them a hand clap of praise as we go into worship today.
Over and over. God, I believe in you, God of exceeding, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think. Lord, you will not see it out. Your word is powerful, your words unstoppable. Let's sing it again.
God of exceeding need, God of abundant need, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your words unstoppable. All things are possible in you. God of exceeding need, God of abundant need, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your words unstoppable. All things are possible in you. God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your words unstoppable, all things are possible in you. Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life. And do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. What you are famous for.
I believe in you, God, I believe in you. Can we sing that? I believe. Let faith rise in you, let hope rise.
God, I believe.
Once more proclaim it.
I believe in you, God, I believe in you.
Can we lift him up? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, right now, Jesus. Jesus.
And as we sing, we believe, prison walls fall down. And as we sing, we believe that the lost are found. And as we sing, we believe that strongholds and chains are shattered. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. The battle is the Lord's, and we are his army. There's power in his name that scatters the enemy. And if he goes before, then we have the victory. Sing the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus.
And as we sing, we believe, prison walls fall down. And as we sing, lost are found. And as we sing, we believe that strongholds and chains are shattering. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus.
So can you feel it now? The ground shake before you. And in the midnight hour, he comes to our rescue. The liberating God is faithful to give. Sing the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. And as we sing, we believe, cause the walls fall down. And as we sing, we believe that the Lord's our God. And as we sing, we believe the strongholds and chains are shattering. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. And as we sing, we believe, prison walls fall down. And as we sing, we believe that the Lord's our God. And as we sing, we believe strongholds and chains are shattering. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus.
Just the mention of your name and it shakes the earth's foundations. Just the mention of your name and the depths of hell start quaking. Just the mention of your name and every chain is breaking. There is power in our praise, cause there is power in your name.
Just the mention of your name and it shakes the earth's foundations. Just the mention of your name and the depths of hell.
Just the mention of Jesus.
Just the mention of your name and every chain is breaking.
There is power.
There is power in our
name. There is power in your name.
There is power in your name.
Just the mention.
Just the mention of your name and it shakes the earth's foundations. Just the mention of your name and the depths of hell start quaking.
Just the mention
of your name,
every chain
is breaking. There is power in our praise.
There is power in your name.
There is power in your name.
There is power.
There is power in our praise.
There is power in your name.
There is power in your name.
There is power.
There is power in our praise. There is power in your name. As we sing, we believe, prison walls fall down. And as we sing, we believe that the lost are found. And as we sing, we believe the strongholds and chains are shattering. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus.
And as we sing,
walls fall down.
As we worship,
as we sing,
we worship.
We believe that the lost are found.
And as
we sing, we believe the strongholds and chains are shattering. Right now, in the name
right
of Jesus.
Jesus.
Right now, in the name
and
of Jesus.
We sing,
as we sing, we believe the walls fall. Strongholds and chains are shattering. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus.
Mountains have to move, and every chain is loose. Cause God, we declare that your kingdom is here and now. Everyone will sing, fall down at your feet. God, we declare,
yes, we
your
declare,
kingdom is here. Sing mountains,
mountains have to move.
Every chain is
loose. Every chain is loose.
Oh God,
God, we declare. as we sing, we believe hell has lost its power. And as we sing, we believe revival is breaking out. And as we sing, we believe that this is a great awakening. Right now in the name of Jesus. 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 Right now in the name.
Sing right now in Jesus' name.
Right now in the name of Jesus.
Right now in Jesus' name.
There's a very powerful presence of the Lord in this place today. You can be seated this morning. I believe that God wants to do something today, and we finished up our series on Wednesday evening talking about opportunities. We're going to be starting our next series this morning, and it's before we get started, though, I just want to, if you're a guest of ours, it's just an honor to have you here today. Welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. It's good to see you. Mick and Debbie Miller here. They were here years and years ago during their college days. Good to see you back. It's also good to see Brother and Sister Lomax and their family and the Word of Life. And I had the honor of going down to the Cole Center on Friday and watching Kenley Rivest and their basketball team, Abundant Life Christian Academy. And they won on Friday and they lost on Saturday, but they made it all the way to the state finals, second place in the state in their division. So congratulations to Kenley Rivest and your team. And before we get started, we have, there's something we haven't really pushed a lot, but it is something that is available. It's called a Christian Worker's License. And we have a number of classes that you can go through that you can get involved in this. So maybe perhaps you don't feel like you're called to a ministry as far as pastoring, but you'd like to get more involved in perhaps hospital ministry or jail ministry, where you need some sort of a credential now to get in most of these places. And so we have a Christian Worker's License, and I would just like to have Brother Eric Seidel. He has kind of helped us pilot this program, and he went through this for us, and I would like to grant him his completion certificate. He also has an identification card. Also has a very similar to our local license or general or ordained card allows him to get into hospitals and places like that as clergy. So I just want to thank Brother Eric, and he's involved in our care ministry and our outreach there in DeForest with him and his family. So God bless you, Brother Eric. Thank you so very much. If you have any questions concerning this, you can talk to Brother Eric or you can talk to Sister Jessica Rivest. She is oversees that here at Calvary. She's back over there in the back. And then one other thing before we get started into our message this morning. I announced this in our business meeting on Thursday evening. And I just wanted to re-announce this today. And it is concerning the Seidel family. It's concerning primarily John and Terry Seidel. Brother John Seidel has worked as our executive pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church for the last 10 years, and he has worked here full-time prior to that. I think it's probably close to 20-plus years that Brother Seidel has worked on our staff here at Calvary Gospel Church, and they are going to be leaving us, Brother John and Sister Terry. They're not going very far. Some of you may have already heard, but Brother Rich Thomas in Stoughton is going to be retiring, and they have been voted, their church board has voted, their church will be voting, having an election coming up here shortly and in a few weeks, and they're going to be voting on them becoming their next senior pastor. So Brother and Sister Seidel will more than likely be leaving us. And so what we're going to do, though, is we want to have a special, very special service for them. And that will be sometime in late May. And we'll let you know all the details on that. We're going to have a little dinner here, some cupcakes, and kind of have him preach, not his last message. He'll probably be preaching, but his last message as on our pastoral staff. So if you see Brother John, Sister Terry, congratulate them. I'm very excited for them. And he's a very, very capable minister. He's very capable of handling the load there in Stoughton, and it's gonna be a little different because we've been working with each other for the last 10 years, and it's been an incredible, enjoyable experience to work alongside Brother John Seidel. So if you see them, they are actually Brother Thomas has had surgery. And he's out for the month of March, so they are filling in for the whole month of March down there on Sundays and Wednesdays. So, but if you see him, just let him know how much you appreciate him and God's blessings on their life and their ministry. We want to start off this morning, as I said, last Wednesday we completed our series on Opportunity Knocks and finding opportunities in the small daily things of life. And the next series is very closely related to that, and it's a very key ingredient in taking advantage of opportunities. And that is learning how to develop within us the power of boldness. Now, it's very easy as born-again Christians to come into a church service like this and be bold in our worship, be bold in our actions, be bold in how we respond. But it's another thing when we leave this premises and we get out into the world, we seem to leave that boldness here. We can jump and shout, run the aisles here, but we can be very timid and we can be very shy in the world. And that is, so we have to look at how do we develop this power of boldness. What is boldness? And why do we need it? And how does it work? Now we have to understand one thing today. The only language that the devil understands is the language of boldness and the language of violence. The devil is bold in his way of going about spreading his lies across the world, but he also is a violent. Violence and boldness and lying are all part of his character. And as we pursue and we look into the book of Acts, and we're going to work our way through the book of Acts, you will also discover that boldness played an important role in the success of the early church. Now, I believe wholeheartedly that we here today are an extension of the same church of the book of Acts. They served the Lord. They entered into this new covenant with Jesus. I am struggling with a cough. And I'm going to work through this if you got the patience to hear me out. Because if there's anything the devil doesn't want, is a bold Christian. And he doesn't want us to know how to get boldness or how to exercise boldness. And I'm not saying that he's just like landed in my throat this morning, but Peter and John were noted for their boldness. And after the miracle of the man who was crippled from his mother's womb, we can go into Acts chapter 4. And we can read chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, and it says, now when they saw the boldness, of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. What were they marveling at? They were marveling at the boldness of what they encountered, what they saw. They no doubt felt an anointed power of the Holy Ghost. And here the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's amazing that they put this together because Jesus had already risen. He had already ascended up into the heavens. But they knew that somewhere recently, these men had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed, standing with them, could say nothing against it. Brother Phil Demas preached a message this morning out of the book of John of the blind man who, go back and listen to that. It's a very good lesson. But boldness, understand, boldness triggers the supernatural. I want to say that again, Brother Lomax, boldness triggers the supernatural and shuts the mouth of our enemy. If we want to shut the mouth of the enemy, we have to allow the Lord to unleash boldness out of us. In fact, boldness was so important and such a necessary ingredient to the first church in the book of Acts chapter 4 that they prayed for boldness. You see, we ask God for wisdom. Scripture says, any man seek wisdom, ask of God. Some things we don't have to pray for. Some things we can ask for. But here they prayed for boldness. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word, stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. This prayer of boldness went all the way to the throne room of God, and God began to pour out upon his church boldness, and it affected them in such a way that the place was shaken. And they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They prayed for boldness. God shook the place as he answered their prayer. Their prayer was answered immediately. So that lets me know, Brother Simmons, that if I'm somewhere out there and I'm talking to someone or witnessing to someone and I begin to feel a little timid and shy, I can pray and say, God, grant me wisdom, grant me boldness. And I don't have to wait for 3 days or a week or a month to get it. It can be instantaneously.
So when the church felt threatened, they prayed for boldness. This means that when your life is threatened and when the enemy comes in and he threatens your life, the way to end this threat is to release boldness. Boldness will end the threat of the enemy. They ask for boldness to see healings, signs, and wonders, which tells me it is impossible, it is impossible, it is impossible to have a miracle ministry without the ingredient of boldness. Boldness. It was boldness that launched Peter and John into the supernatural. It was boldness that was demonstrated by the disciples who did not wait for the crippled man to be healed, but lifted him up as if two brand new legs just sprouted up underneath him. And he shot up to the point that he could run and jump and shout and praise God. They didn't have to say, we're going to have to take you over to the doctor and let him look you over and maybe have you do some physical therapy because you don't want to stretch out one of those new tendons. He shot up out of that place. This was a creative miracle. Understand, in this creative miracle, it happened instantly, as he didn't have to have any form of therapy. They didn't have to teach him how to walk. They didn't have to hold on to both sides of him and said, slowly do what we're doing. It takes boldness to see creative miracles and signs and wonders in our ministries today. It is impossible to have miracles without the ingredient of boldness. Notice how this flows. Notice how this flows. They had opportunity. We spent 2 months talking about opportunity. They had opportunity. And with that opportunity flowed out boldness. And today, church, I wish to share with you some of my thoughts on boldness and show us how to unleash that force that is within us. How many of you feel like here today that you have a whole lot more in you that needs to be released out of you? Whether it's talent and abilities and potential, or whether it's the anointing of the Holy Ghost, whether it's boldness, or that God is working on you and he's prodding you, I challenge you today to release that. Let that out. Let that out. This is something I've been pondering with. This is something I've been struggling with to understand. Boldness with humility. See, what happens a lot is we can become like Lucifer. I believe Lucifer was very bold in heaven. He was in charge of worship. You can't be a worship leader for someone like like God. He was God's worship leader. Think about this. He had to be bold. This is how God likes it, and how he likes it, he's going to get it. I don't care how you think you sound. This is what you have to be boldness. But see, with that boldness, there can become a little bit of pride can sneak in. And we have to be careful, because boldness with humility, not belligerence. I think Satan got to the part where his boldness became belligerent, and then it became about him, thus the pride. But we have to understand, boldness enables that which is inaccessible to become accessible. Maybe there's something in your life today that is just out of reach, and it's boldness. It's boldness that will allow that inaccessible, whatever that is, to become accessible. Boldness enables others to follow in your footsteps. Boldness activates the miraculous. Boldness empowers us to take the promised land and make it a possessed land. I am tired of hearing about a promised land. I want to see and hear it as a possessed land. I want to live in that miracle. I want to live in the milk and honey. I want to experience it. I want to taste it. I want to feel it. Without boldness, the promised land will just be a potential land rather than a possessed land. And potential is something that could be, but is yet to be. What takes something from potential to potency is boldness. Before we get into the principles of boldness, we'll get into that a little bit later in the week. But how do we release this force, this principle, into our daily lives? Well, I'm a big one that before I look at things, I want to know exactly what is it that I'm talking about. How do I define? How would I define boldness? If I was going to give boldness a definition, what would it be? Boldness to me is defined, it is a fearless. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Boldness is a fearless attitude. I like that. It's a fearless attitude. Boldness is fearless in speech. The disciples were bold. They said what they had to say. The boldness is fearless in action. How do we unleash the spirit of boldness in our lives? First of all, we have to know who we are. How many of you have the Holy Ghost today? How many of you believe that the power of the Holy Ghost gives us authority over the enemies of our lives? How many of you believe that? If you don't believe that, there's no point in having it. So you can be dismissed, go get you some Culvers, and go home and sit down and watch the game or whatever's on. Because if you don't believe it, don't waste your time trying to take and get to something you don't even believe. Boldness. We have to know who we are. The Bible tells me that the righteous is as bold as a lion. Therefore, we must understand our position as the righteous of God in Christ. We must understand positional truth in Christ. We got to believe who we are. And then we have to act upon that belief. We must understand who we are in Christ. We are new creatures in Christ. Are we not? If you've been born again, you're a new creature. We're new creatures, Brother Repka. We're not the same creature that we were 15, 20, perhaps 30 years ago. We're not the same creature we were before we met Christ. We're not the same creature we thought we were before when we had sin in our lives. We are new creatures. We need to doubt, I said this in our prayer meeting, we need to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. But most people do just the opposite. They doubt their beliefs and they believe their doubts. We have to know who we are in God. It is as important to know whose we are in God. You see, God is with us. God is with us. Everybody say, God is with me. That's personalizing it. God is with me. God is with me today. God is with you today. God is with your family today. God is with this church today. We have to know who we are in God. We have to know whose we are. Paul says in Chapter 27, he says, I belong to God. Know what has been said, the word of God. We belong to God. Let that sink in just for a minute. We belong to God. I don't belong to the enemy. Although the enemy frustrates me, the enemy tries to trick me, he tries to get me to sin. Sometimes he's successful, sometimes he's not. But the bottom line is, I belong to God. I don't belong to the devil. He doesn't own me. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 states, no. What has been shed for you? We have Easter coming up. And a lot of talk over Easter, the shedding of the blood. And that's important. not going to take away from that, but we have to understand Hebrews 10:19 confirms to us that the blood of Jesus Christ gives us boldness. I don't know how all this works. I don't know how blood shed 2,000 years ago can give me boldness today, but it does, and it is. It works. The shed blood of Jesus gives you and I access. Just like at one time the promised land was inaccessible to the children of Israel, the blood of Jesus Christ at one time was inaccessible to humanity. But today we have the shed blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross gives us access to that which was once inaccessible. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There's power and authority in that blood. We have to pray for it, church. How do we get this? We have to pray for it. Just as the early church had prayed for boldness. Would you like to have spiritual boldness in your life today? Is it something that perhaps you struggle with and you would like to be more bold? I'm not saying more belligerent. I'm saying more bold. Boldness with humility. Boldness with anointing that affects people. I've been praying, Lord, I want to be more bold. I don't want to be this guy that, you know, you see these preachers that they're just like in your face, rude. No, that's Jesus was rude to one group of people. If I can just be honest, it was preachers. The scribes and the Pharisees, the keeper of the word. It was the ministry of the day that he called vipers, and he compared their insides of their lives to sepulchers, dead man bones. You look beautiful on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. Oh, ye generation of vipers. Boy, he laid it down, didn't he? He was bold. He was bold. That was boldness. So if we want to have spiritual boldness, listen, you don't need to go online and look up prophets or preachers or teachers that specialize in boldness and send them $19.99 for a special prayer cloth that has boldness written on the bottom of it by their pen signed at their golden desk with the golden feather that fell out of heaven in a vision. And because of that, that's not how it works. Oh, there have been some good books written on developing boldness and confidence. But the best book on the subject was written thousands of years ago. And it's this book right here. You want boldness? Carry this book with you. Carry this book with you. Take the scriptures, take the word of God, write it on a 3x5 card and put it in your pocket and say, Lord, where I go today, I want to make sure that I've got boldness right here in humility with me. Developing boldness is not an outside job. It's not something that comes from the outside. It's something that comes from the inside. It's not something, Brother Eric, that I can come up and say, hey, brother, I want to give you boldness this morning. That certificate we gave you, I anointed that, and that's got boldness in it. Take that with you to the hospital. No. That's not. Boldness doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. It comes from the inside. Developing spiritual boldness comes from within each and every one of us. Ephesians 3:12 in the Classic Amplified says this, in whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence, a free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. We have to understand, church, our 24/7 access that we have to our Heavenly Father was made possible. It was made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. It's an inside job. It won't happen any other way. 2 Corinthians 3:12 in the Amplified Classic says, since we have such glorious hope, such joyful and confident expectation, we speak very clearly and openly and fearlessly. Sounds like he's telling the Ephesians the same thing he's telling the Corinthians. Confidence in God in his word gives us boldness to be about kingdom business. That's what it's all about, Pastor Peter. It's about the business of his kingdom. That's why we were saved. That's why he's invested in us. Acts 28:31 says, preaching to them the kingdom of God and teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness. With boldness. With boldness. One of the things that should give you spiritual boldness is knowing that God has chosen you for a divine assignment. I've asked this question before. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What businesses would you start if you knew you couldn't fail? Think about that. What would you do different today, Brother Repka, if you knew when you walked out of here that you were never going to fail again in your life? What would you do different? Think about that. That's a challenge. That's a mind bender. Because our minds can go a lot of different ways. And God has given each and every one of us a divine assignment. We call this the will of God for our lives. The church has one purpose, that is to fulfill Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach, teach, spread this gospel in whatever means necessary. And how we do that is where God individually gives us individual assignments. My assignment might be different than your assignment. But despite the odds or adversity, just knowing that he has called us should give us boldness that he is going to make a way even when there seems to be no way. We look in the Old Testament, our musicians, praise team can come when we look in the Old Testament. David was one. If you read the story about David, he was the last one that should have been anointed king. And he was the last one that should have been heading out there to face Goliath. You think about it. What made the difference? It's real simple. What made the difference? You could say, well, he was anointed. Well, Saul was anointed. He was anointed to be king. Samuel anointed Saul just like he anointed David. So is it anointing? Is that what it takes? Is that what it took? Well, then Saul should have been out there fighting the giant. Think about it. What was it? One simple thing. He was simply chosen by God. God chose David. I don't understand sometimes how God works. But you see, God chose David. And you're here today. Maybe not because anointing. Maybe you're here today because God chose you. God called you. every person hearing my voice today, you have been chosen for a divine assignment. And when a person is meditating and praying on the Word of God, my friends, that individual should become full of boldness and should be successful. Just as David was full of boldness, he ran to the giant. He ran to his problem. He ran to his adversary. God needs each and every one of us today, church, to be bold on his behalf. To be bold on his behalf. After hearing this message today, some of you may need to go home and speak boldly to yourself. I had to speak boldly to myself today. I woke up, I was not feeling good at all. I'm like, Lord, who's the first one that I'm supposed to call? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and I'm going to sit through. And as the service begins to wear on, not in a negative sense, but as time begins to pass and the worship begins to take place, I'm anticipating a touch from the Holy Ghost. And I want to preach with boldness. I want to live it. So when you go home, speak boldly to yourself. This is hard for us. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. We spend far too much time worrying about things and not enough time praying about things. And I'm going to encourage you to get in front of that mirror and look at yourself and preach a little sermon to yourself. I've talked myself into doing a lot of things looking in the mirror, and I've talked myself out of doing a lot of things looking in the mirror. But preach a little sermon to yourself. And maybe that'll provoke you when you go home to send a text, send an email, or make a phone call, or talk to someone and encourage them to hang in there. You don't have to call them up. Say, bless God, I had a great sermon today. Hang in there, brother. Be bold, I'm bold. No, it's probably why my throat's sore. I probably did this too much in the mirror. No, sometimes it's just calling up, saying, hey, Brother Matt, I just want to, been thinking about you, brother. Been praying for you. Just want you to know that I'm praying for you, you and your family. It's just that, it's just that little, and the little bit of boldness, Brother Repka, will become more boldness. And we gain confidence in that. And we have to understand, it's not arrogance, but it's love and gentleness to help someone else to see the truth. We can stand this morning. Someone you work with, maybe your mom or your dad, a brother or a sister. Maybe it's somebody you play sports with. Maybe it's somebody at the gym. We have folks that are here today because somebody spoke to them at a gym with boldness, in love and humility. So if you've been letting your life, we want to let our life be a witness. But we have to be honest enough to recognize that perhaps what we've been doing for a long time needs to change. We have to pray for boldness. How many of you want to pray for boldness this morning? How many of you are willing to come down here to the front and say, Pastor, I'm gonna lift my hands up and praise and worship. And I'm gonna say, Lord, I've been praying you would grant me opportunities. Now, Lord, grant me boldness. Grant me boldness. Won't you come this morning?
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Remember, we need to doubt our doubts.
Power in your name.
And believe our beliefs.
There is God bless power you. In the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
He loved to call your name. It's something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great name, your great name.
We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great name.
When I call
I could just have everybody just, I know people are starting to leave. I don't think I've ever done this. Said a corporate prayer, I guess, at the end of a service. But I want, just take hold of the person's hand next to you if you're comfortable. Grab their elbow, whatever you're comfortable with. And I want to pray.
Amen.
I want to pray what I've written, and you can pray in your mind, you can pray out loud, however, but as your pastor, this is what I'm praying for all of us collectively as a body. It's not lengthy, it's not long, so let's just pray. Dear Jesus, I pray that this church, I pray Calvary Gospel Church, would have such a deep belief, Lord, in your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Lord, there's power and authority in that. That they would also believe, Lord, just like Peter and John, as they went to the gate that day, they were going to the temple to pray. And Lord, they run in to a lame man, and Lord, they look at him and say, silver and gold have I none. And that when we run into people that need money, the homeless, whoever it may be, we can say, you know what, I don't have anything of substance to give you, but such as I have, give I thee. We can't hold back this truth, church. Father, I pray that you would stir us to be bold, not arrogant, not judgmental, but bold, filled with your love and your grace, your generosity and your compassion. And that we would share this wisdom, this knowledge, this good news with those all around about us that so desperately need your touch in their lives. Help us, Lord, to couple together with one another, but with opportunity and with boldness in love in your name. A powerful, lovely, potent, bold name of Jesus. God bless you, church. And I want to steal something that some of you Star Wars people are going to love. Let's go this week and go boldly where no man has gone before. Can we do that? Let's go do this. God bless you, Star Trek. I knew I'd get caught. James Kirk. Whatever one he is. God bless you. Love you. Thank you to our music team.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
So there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
So much power in.
Power in your name.
So there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
Yes, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
Things change when
we call you Jesus. When we call your name, things change when we call you Jesus.